The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They need Kirk Cousins back in 2024, and it's in Kirk Cousins' best interest.
Wait. Hey, hold on. Stop the press. Say that again. I couldn't hear you.
It would be a mistake for him and for the Vikings to not want to squeeze the last bit out and see what happens.
Man, let's clip that out. Clip that out and put that on social media, team. Let's get that. You see that, everybody? You see that, Minnesota? Hey, Kirk Cousins, he got down to the last petal on the flower, and he loves you. It's official. Oh, where's our quarterback? Do we have a quarterback? Eat it, Florio. Eat it. You may love him. He got the last laugh. He said, screw you, Florio. I'm out of here. I'm not quarterbacking your favorite team. I love it. Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
Good morning.
You done? You got anything else? Go ahead and get it out of your system.
It's just gonna come out throughout the day. I won't be able to help it. I'm sorry. It's still soul shocking. I'm shocked in general. Football fan, everything. All I could do was think about you yesterday. I'm on my podcast. I'm like, I really still don't think this is gonna happen. And then it happens, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And of course, you're the number one person I thought of throughout the day, and got questions about it and about you all day through text asking if Florio was okay. But you're okay. Yeah, we're concerned about you.
Well, the show is PFT Live. We're here for the next 2 hours on Peacock, Sirius XM85, wherever you get your podcasts, and Sky Sports Action, which is what the channel becomes in the NFL offseason. There is no offseason. The biggest tent pole other than the draft is free agency. They're both significant. It's just different. One is guys who've never played before, and this is the rearrangement of the furniture in the NFL. Guys moving from team to team. It was dizzying at times yesterday with the number of deals that were done. Obviously, a lot of these deals were negotiated before the legal tampering period began, and that's why I love calling it the legal tampering period. Number one, it really irritates the English nerds out there that refuse to regard it as legal tampering. It's legal negotiating. But the reality is that illegal tampering happens. So that's one of the reasons why we saw just deal, 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 deal as soon as noon Eastern hit yesterday. But the big one hit around 2:30 p.m. Eastern. You were surprised I wasn't. Look, yesterday you were kind of doing a thing like, I don't really think this Kirk Cousins to Atlanta is a thing. And I just kept I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to get into it with you. Because how dare you not trust me when I start putting those – anytime I start putting shit like that out there, there's a lot more that I know that I can't put out there. So, and I never reported he was going to Atlanta, but damn, there was a hell of a lot of smoke. And damn, if it was all a ruse, they were all in with creating the ruse that they're bound for Atlanta, even if Atlanta isn't interested in them. So, you know, unfortunately, that's ultimately what happened, because I still think after putting 6 years in with Kirk Cousins and seeing him perform the way he did on that Monday night last year against the 49ers, 6 days before his Achilles tendon popped at Lambeau Field, you want to see it to the ending. Where does this go? Is he capable of reversing narratives? Is he capable of getting back to the playoffs? Is he capable of winning his second career playoff game? And if that happens, you'd like it to happen in Minnesota after 6 years of him being in Minnesota. There's still no guarantee it's going to happen in Atlanta. And Atlanta was the perfect spot for him to get paid again, because they've been adrift in no man's land at the quarterback position since Matt Ryan started to dip. And they were interested in Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago, and then they weren't interested in Lamar Jackson. Now they realize we better get interested in a 35-year-old quarterback with one leg, as you said yesterday. So it all made sense, and it all unfolded. And it's $180 million over 4 years, although it looks like it's a 2-year commitment at 90, with another 10 that would be offset if he goes somewhere else, if the Falcons decide after 2 years to move on. But That's that. And the Vikings, you know, I go back to a year ago, Chris. It felt to me like the Vikings were, from an organizational standpoint, ready to finish the deal with Kirk Cousins, move on, and try to draft the guy that becomes their future. And that feels like exactly where they are. I didn't think that they should do it based on how he ultimately performed last year, but that's where they are.
Well, I mean, I don't think they thought they were going to be there, or they wanted to quite go there, honestly. I mean, it's where they are now. And I obviously triggered you there because you just went psycho in your start of your monologue there. I didn't mean to disrespect you yesterday. I was just trying to say that I didn't know anybody in that circle that knew that. I didn't know. That's where I just had nerdy.
Other than me.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody other than you.
You didn't really tell me anything off air or anything that you thought, like, for sure. So I didn't know. I mean, you didn't, like, you don't always let me behind the curtain and be like, hey, I got a real good feel here. I didn't know that, so I wasn't sure. I thought you were kind of riding the hunch maybe of the whole school thing and the we're looking for a home thing too. That was it. You know, usually with, like, that type of move, yeah, I start to hear from a few people, like, hey, this is real. This time it didn't happen. So, damn, I wasn't trying to disrespect you there, psycho. I mean, you didn't have to blow up.
Fine.
Either way.
Listen, I didn't blow up. You want to see me blow up, I'll blow up.
Well, you were on the verge of it, and then you were like, wait, let me keep talking here. But go ahead, yes.
No, it's just we're trying to have an entertaining show. When my wife was talking to Julie Cousins after we interviewed Kirk and KJ Osborne at the Super Bowl, and I walked over and said hello and listened to a couple of things she had to say, that's when I developed the very intense pasta and meatballs feeling that this is done. That's when one of the benefits of being old, you kind of been around a little bit,
right.
You've talked to people in different states of their life while they're going through stuff maybe you've gone through when you were their age, and you kind of pick up on the cues of the angst and the frustration, because what do we have to do to get a fair contract from the Vikings? Not that she said it that way.
Right, but that's what she was implying.
But all the ingredients were there for them to go look. And the one thing that I really kept my mouth shut about, Chris, And I never verified that there were conversations with Kyle Pitts about number 8. Some of the stuff I got, I made sure, vetted, confirmed, people in the know, that's going on, schoolhouse, yep. There was this other little bit about Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins already talking about who's going to wear number 8. And I just kind of blurted that out last week on McAfee's show. And I hadn't verified it. And then Pitts comes out strong and says, oh, y'all will make up anything. And it's like, you know, Kyle, you can't say if that's happening. Because that's the kind of thing, if that gets out, if he acknowledges that, the NFL is going to be up their butt with a microscope for tampering. Because even though the NFL never enforces the tampering rules, it's kind of like if you're not dumb about it, if you're not blatant about it, we're not going to make a big deal about it. But when you get blatant about it, like the Dolphins were a couple of years ago with Sean Payton and Tom Brady, and you know it was kind of like known that, and they didn't really do much by way of exercising discretion. Once that happens, that's when you've got to worry about the NFL coming down on
right.
you. So he was never going to admit it. He was never. I'm not saying that it was true because I still never verified it at the time. But now it's a thing. Who gets to keep number 8? And he's thinking about moving to 84, his college number at Florida. And, you know, again, the hay was out of the barn last week, or the horse was out of the barn, or something was out of the barn. Tonight I'm going to go to the barn and have a few stiff drinks.
Well, yeah, that's a bold move. It really is. For Kirk Cousins, it is. I mean, what a contract. You know, like you said, it looks like it's 2 years, $90 million. We'll go from there. Gets the extra $10 million on there to make it $100 million guarantee. But yeah, I'll still stand by what I said yesterday as far as a football X's and O's thing. To leave a place where you have one of the five best offensive play callers in the game and an offense that's been rolling and has, you know, O'Connell. I mean, it's rare to hear a head coach be as aggressively confident about their quarterback when he hasn't, like, taken them to a Super Bowl or an NFC Championship game yet. And O'Connell, I mean, 2 years in a row was, I love Kirk Cousins. He's incredible. I want him to be a quarterback when we talk to him at the Combine or anywhere else. So that's where, to me, it is an extremely bold move. Now you're going to go to a new place. Like we talked about yesterday a little, on one leg, not 100%, not really probably going to be able to contribute to OTAs and practice that way, right? And, of course, it is just a new team in general with a first-time play caller in Zach Robinson and him getting his feet underneath him. So that's where it's bold. I'm not saying it can't work. You know, I got I think Atlanta's pretty well-constructed football team. I picked them to win the NFC South last year. Quarterback was the issue. There's no doubt about that. But it's still a bold move to leave, like, hey, we got a nice little castle over here, and we've been tearing it up, and everything's great, and we're kicking butt on offense, and you're leading the charge. To leave that and Justin Jefferson and all that, I still am amazed by it. I really am. And he's taking a risk, but not financially, that's for sure. But as far as on the field and how that works, yeah, there's a little risk there. But he's obviously comfortable with it and feels comfortable with Raheem, who he's got history with from back in the Washington days, and Shanahan. And then Zach Robinson being under Sean McVay, he felt comfortable with him as well.
Yeah, and look, if it goes really well this year for the Atlanta offense with Kirk Cousins, what happens is next year there's a chance there will be a new offensive coordinator, just like what happened with the Buccaneers. Dave Canales comes in, first-time play caller. It works well with Baker Mayfield. Now Canales is gone and he's a head coach. That was never going to happen to Cousins in Minnesota. O'Connell was always going to be there, and I thought that would be a draw. That was when I first started to get, Chris, the inkling that maybe they weren't going to just be, okay, thanks for the 6 years, Kirk. We're moving on. We're breaking up with you. See, I always thought it was going to be we are breaking up with you,
that's
not
what
I am breaking up with the Vikings.
Right.
When we talked to O'Connell last year at the Combine, and away from the set, but it wasn't really off the record. It wasn't like he was telling us secrets.
Yeah.
He was very effusive about the idea that this is the first time in years that Kirk's got the same in his ear pre-snap. And he was very excited about that. It was like that little kid enthusiasm. It was oozing out of Kevin O'Connell last year at the Combine. And that's when I first started to think, maybe this isn't, you know, competitive rebuild, which is just a fancy way of let nature take its course, which is a fancy way of we hope we stink, which is a fancy way of we want to get Caleb Williams or one of the guys at the top of the draft. And the problem is they had enough good last year that they're at number 11. I mean, that's where the plan kind of fell apart. They're not in position to get one of the top guys without moving up. And one of the other planks in my argument last year was Justin Jefferson becomes the trade bait to get all the way up to the top of the draft if that's something that they really want to do. Now, O'Connell told us that's not going to happen 2 weeks ago in Indy. But you know what, Chris? He's not calling the shots. He's clearly not calling the shots,
right,
or Kirk Cousins would be there. And And it makes me wonder about the power dynamics. It makes me wonder about, like, is everyone on the same page? It makes me wonder how long Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell are going to be able to coexist. Is somebody going to make a power play behind the scenes? Is O'Connell going to decide, you know what, I'm out of here too. I'll let my contract expire and I'll go somewhere else and be a head coach. And I don't want to be too doom and gloomish because I think that O'Connell is a guy that should be there over the long haul. He's proven enough to me over the first 2 years that he's the guy for the job.
Right.
But when you start ripping away pieces that he thinks will help him do his job better, it's gonna frustrate him. You know, yeah, hey, Kevin, you've shown that you can kind of take any quarterback we find and get the most out of him. Keep doing it. You know, it's like, it's not easy. Guys, like, you know, it's kind of, you know, my life's a little easier when I got the same guy all the time instead of having to go, oh, let's do this guy. Well, let's get this guy ready. I mean, circumstances required him to do it last year, circumstances they couldn't control. Now it's their decision to thrust him into this Sam Darnold, and we'll talk about that more in a second, Jaren Hall, Nick Mullins, whoever they draft, and hope for the best. Or maybe, you know, and again, we'll see who they get this year. Maybe they don't get the guy they like, and they continue the competitive rebuild for another year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the challenge. Where do you go from here?
Right.
We know where Cousins is going. Hey, one last thing about Cousins.
Yeah.
Before we turn the page on the Falcons side of it. I wonder how the contract is going to look as it relates to his physical. And I think back to the Jimmy G thing from last year.
Right.
With the Raiders. How he agreed to terms very quickly. And then it was time for the physical. And it's like, man, your foot's messed up. And they reworked the contract. And he was in danger of not getting a penny from the Raiders if he wasn't good to go when the season rolled around. I mean, how do you pass a physical right now if you're Kirk Cousins? An NFL physical.
Yeah.
Not a you're not going to die tomorrow physical. How do they account for the fact that he's not all that far removed from tearing his Achilles tendon?
Right.
How do they protect themselves?
I guess it's about, you know, we're going in the right direction. Things look proper here, right? I mean, I'm guessing maybe they end up having a doctor that, of course, you know, they look at to be maybe outside the Kirk Cousins camp or the guy who did the surgery to get a second look. To tell them, you know, how that doctor gauges it, you're right. It's a little different. To throw that type of money out there with a guy with this type of injury, yeah, it certainly is a little rare here. There's no question, you know. So I'm guessing that's how that's going to go, Mike. You know, right? Like, there's no way it's going to be total pass, like you're saying. He's functional. He's obviously capable of dropping and jogging a little bit, and things are progressing the right way. But, yeah, I mean, ready to play football, run around, cut in the pocket, take off, run, do all that? No, I don't think we're there yet. You're right. So I'm not sure exactly how that gets worked out, Mike.
It's the biggest contract ever given to a guy coming off a serious injury, and it's something that kind of got lost in the shuffle yesterday. We've assumed he's going to get a big contract. It's the question of, is it the Vikings, is it the Falcons, or is somebody else going to swoop in at the 11th hour that we weren't thinking about?
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think we do need to think about now is, how will this physical go? What will it mean? How will the contract ultimately be structured? And this is one of the realities of the current system that allows negotiation but no visit until Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to go there. He's not allowed to go in the building. You're not even allowed to set up a visit. It's such a weird system. It's what blew up on Brock Osweiler and the Texans 7-8 years ago when they work out a deal. They bring Osweiler to Houston after they work out the deal, and you know, I think from the get-go, Bill O'Brien was like, "What the hell are we doing here with this guy?" So you've got people who already know Kirk Cousins, and you know, I don't think that's the issue. This is the Drew Brees type of issue. Like, you know, if the current system was in place back in 2006, it's entirely possible the Dolphins would have had a deal in place with Drew Brees before he ever went to have a physical. It's possible. Now, I don't know that you would have done a deal with him with 25 studs in his shoulder, but that's the same idea. You're putting the cart before the horse.
100%.
You're doing the deal
before
that you get a chance to poke and prod and inspect the player. We're just 2 weeks removed from the ultimate poke and prod fest of the scouting combine. The Falcons are making this commitment blind to where Kirk Cousins currently is. Oh, well, they can look at scans. They can get this. No, you're not allowed to talk to the guy. You can't do anything at this point. There's nothing you can do other than negotiate. That's the weirdness.
That's the fudging and finagling that I would question in my history of football and knowing that I would think goes down a little here in this situation, right?
It's got to.
His doctor, whatever, they sent the, you know, MRI, the recent MRI. He knows, you know, he got his people as far as in Kirk Cousins' camp to reach out to somebody in Atlanta that's in charge of the medical area for the Falcons football team. And I would think, yes, there was some of that, let alone I think the video was probably put out there just to soothe the Falcons brass and get them feel comfortable, get the fans to feel comfortable around that. But, yeah, Mike, that's definitely one where, you know, you talk about it all the time or illegal tampering or whatever. Yeah, that's one where I think they probably have a little bit more of a educated feel for how Kirk Cousins is doing in this rehab and where he's at right now.
But see, that's what's dangerous, because if the unblinking red eye of the NFL ever decides to spin that way and investigate, that's when you start to have tangible digital trail.
Yeah, gotcha. Right.
That can't be scrubbed away.
Right.
That's why tampering at the scouting combine is easy and rampant. Because it's all face-to-face.
Right.
It's in person. There's no footprint. When you start sending MRIs from Dr. A to Dr. B, and Dr. A is connected to Cousins, and Dr. B is connected to the Falcons, and then Dr. B starts sending them to Terry Fontenot, Rich McKay, whoever, that's when people start really taking a risk.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't have the NFL pull the pin on a tampering investigation, because you're going to get nailed. You're going to get caught.
Right.
You're going to get busted. Right. And hey, and let's face it. Let's face it. I mean, the Falcons have been busted a couple of times over the years. They had a whole fake crowd noise thing that Rich McKay got exiled from the competition committee over. They had the Bijan Robinson thing they got whacked for, messing with the injury report. He was sick and they didn't tell anybody, and he barely played against the Buccaneers. Back in week 7, I think it was. So, you know, there's reason for the NFL to at least be like, hey, guys, don't, you know, we usually turn a blind eye to all this crap.
Yeah.
But let's not be blatant here. So I guess my point is, to get to any level of comfort, Chris, they are taking a huge risk that there's going to be a back end to this where somebody at the league office says, you know what, they may have known too much before they committed to $100 million guaranteed.
I hear you, right? I mean, no doubt. I don't think the NFL or 345 Park really is going to care unless somebody cries foul, right? I think that's basically
or unless Kyle Pitts said last week, yeah, we are talking about him wearing number 8.
Right. Maybe if it was so blatant and in their face and throwing it at them that way. But yeah, these are ones generally that, you know, again, this is good news. This is positive news. The Falcons are happy. You know, we're talking about this to start the show. The NFL doesn't want to put a damper in this, right? I mean, usually this happens because it starts to be, wait, we can't avoid this. People like Florio and Sims have found out that this is going on. Sean Payton and Brady were talking to the Dolphins, let alone other things got thrown in their face, and people start to cry foul there a little bit, and then the NFL's forced to do it. That's where I just don't see it happening that way. But, yeah, you're right about they better be careful. The other thing, too, Mike, that I find interesting, you know, you talked about the coach and the GM relationship there. That's one where, yeah, this is the type of move that might start the fracture, right? I mean, this is a huge, huge moment for the Minnesota Vikings and, of course, Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell's going, damn, here I am in year 3, right? Year 1 was great. Year 2, I lose my quarterback, tears his Achilles. I'm excited about it. Year 3, well, damn, now I got to go back to year 1, basically process and kind of get my new quarterback up to speed with the rest of my offense. And, you know, our team's pretty damn good. And we were good last year, except for injuries and fumbleitis. And, you know, they had a good day in free agency yesterday that we'll get to later, right? So that's where that's a huge blow to Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings offense and the direction they were headed in. And, of course, now, yeah, they're kind of going into the uncharted waters of the unknown of, you know, hey, we think Sam Darnold's real good. Right, we liked him coming out of college. We liked the way he looked last year in preseason for the 49ers. Shanahan, you know, we've heard through the grapevine likes him and all of that type of stuff. But, yeah, they're in a tough spot right here in a year where it kind of looked like, hey, maybe the Vikings will turn the corner here and be a real pain in the butt in the NFC in 2024. And now it's kind of back to, oh, well, we don't know. We'll see how Sam Darnold comes along. We'll see what they do in the draft. We'll see how this shakes out. And that's where it's a big blow to your football team, and I'm sure Kevin O'Connell is feeling it today still.
And look, we're not trying to gratuitously stir up shit here, but think about the things O'Connell said to us just 14 days ago.
Yeah, they were strong.
Fully aware of the plan.
Right.
Fully aware of the plan.
Yeah.
Right? The plan is competitive rebuild. The plan is, and it made me think of the old Meineke car commercial, I'm not going to pay a lot for this muffler. The Vikings' idea was we're not going to pay a lot for Kirk Cousins. We're not. So O'Connell knew all that, and he was still all in with keeping Kirk Cousins, which meant, hey, maybe you have to pay more than you thought you were going to have to pay. Maybe we shouldn't be so rigid. Maybe we shouldn't be so stubborn. Maybe we shouldn't be so inflexible. And he shot his shot. It didn't work. And so, yeah, you'll wonder what kind of a ramification there is, what consequences there. How do you get everybody back on the same page moving forward? Because for O'Connell to say what he said, the implication is maybe they aren't on the same page.
Yeah.
And if they're not on the same page about the most important position on the field, what else are they not on the same page about? So that's an issue. And this gets back to the whole Stephen Ross Miami dynamic where the owners don't live in Minnesota. The Wilfs live in New Jersey. How often are they there? What goes on when they're not there? Is everybody getting along the way they should? Is everybody saying you betcha and being Minnesota nice to each other? Or is there something brewing? This is a tangible piece of evidence that we look at and say, they may not be on the same page here. And again, if they're not on the same page about this, what else are they not on the same page about? The statement that came out yesterday, the other thing too,
yeah.
Like, you know, you got to be sensitive to your fan base and to the media. And I know there's something to be said for secrecy and keeping the cards close to the vest and being prepared for whatever may happen and not wanting to undermine your strategic objectives by running your mouth. But, you know, the fact that O'Connell was so strong on wanting to keep Cousins creates confusion.
Yeah.
For the fans.
Sure.
What are we doing here?
Right.
What are we doing here?
Our head coach
wants
this guy.
You made everybody
wait. He wants
him. You made your fan base, your paying customers wait until yesterday at 2:30 Eastern time when they find out, well, shit, there he goes. Gee, thanks for the heads up, Vikings. So that's another business issue that you need to be thinking about. And these are great case studies for how to deal with these situations and how not to deal with these situations. But I suspect there's a lot of upset Vikings fans today that thought, well, hell yeah, we're going to keep this guy.
Yeah, I'm sure. For a lot of the reasons I thought, well, you know, why would he want to leave? Our coach is saying they like him. We got things going in the right direction. Damn, before he hurt his ACL, I mean, his Achilles last year, I mean, it was kind of like, ooh, watch out. The Vikings look like they're turning this around. They're about to get hot here. I mean, he was playing good football. We know that. So I'm sure there are Viking fans today that are in shock. How could you not be? I'm in shock. I'm not even a Vikings fan. I mean, I'm one that's sitting here going, oh, this is kind of fun, the dysfunction. I'm going to have fun watching Florio, you know, not sure how to handle this and what to think of the Vikings here going forward, right? But, yeah, it's a big day, a big blow to the Vikings organization. And, you know, on top of that, right, I mean, like, yeah, you lose your quarterback, you do that. And, Mike, I'll say yesterday, I mean, we talk about, hey, the offense is set and we got a lot of good things and Cousins and all that, right? I mean, there's two things that jump out to me here. The first thing is, man, it changes the draft dynamic like you brought up earlier. I mean, them being at number 11 now makes them, ooh, wait, are they going to be in play for a quarterback here? Will quarterback number 4 in the NFL or whatever, will he be on the board? you know, at 11 or maybe quarterback number three? Do they have to trade up and make a move? I mean, so that all comes into play here, of course. And the Kirk Cousins thing wipes away, too. A good day in free agency for the Vikings. I thought you guys had three of the kind of like under the radar, okay, not the star name, right? Not the guy we're going to pay $150 million to, but that like, ooh, this is a really good crop of guys. They don't maybe have the star power, but oh, they're going to make this deal. I mean, Blake Cashman, I mean, he is a hell of a middle linebacker. Andrew Van Ginkel, right? A guy from Miami that Brian Flores drafted when he was down there or was a part of that organization when Flores was there. He, linebacker, pass rusher. And then Jonathan Greenard, from Houston. I mean, he's a hell of a player. So you improved your team yesterday, but nobody else is going to be able to look at that because it's going to be like, well, I don't know if we did improve our team because we lost our starting quarterback, and what the hell are we going to look like? And that's the unfortunate part for the Vikings, too.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And I just wonder, were they naive here? Did they think they were going to have a fair shot?
What was the number they offered? Those are the things I can't wait for you to find out, or one of us to find out, right? Was where was their number, right? Where they were like, well, we're not going past 40, right? I mean, what was it that was the line of demarcation to go, we're not going past there. Sorry, Kirk, we'll see you later. That's what I'd be really interested to know.
All we knew was they weren't going to do a fully guaranteed deal, and the Falcons didn't do a fully guaranteed deal. And we were kicking around some numbers yesterday. We were kind of on it at 45.
Yeah.
I said 3 and 135 with 75, I think, guaranteed, like 2 years and half of a third year. Like, we were kind of on where it was going. It ended up being 2 full years guaranteed, and then part of the third year triggers in 2025. For Cousins. And again, I wonder, because I think if the Vikings knew that that's where it was going, you know, that's how you manage the situation and tap out affirmatively if you're the Vikings. And you create the impression with your fan base that you've made the conscious decision that we're going to move on. Now, maybe they just want to be nice to him. Maybe they don't want to end it on a bad note. But it's not an easy task from a PR standpoint to work your way through a situation like this.
Yeah.
And there are going to be some awkward moments. And that's why the statement came out so quickly yesterday from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah,
right,
saying that they have layers of contingencies at the quarterback position and putting the best possible spin on it. And I don't know how many Vikings fans. Look, this is the love him not side.
Yeah, I got you. I know.
But I, as you might imagine, I know plenty of Vikings fans. Being in this position for as long as I have and talking about it openly, you hear from people. Hell, I've made some of my family members who otherwise would have had no business being Vikings fans into Vikings fans over the years, including my nephew, who texted me a GIF that says, God is real.
after Kirk Cousins left. So there's a lot of Vikings fans that are popping bottles, not shedding tears today, although I still think that they should have seen this through to the end.
Yeah, well, here's what I think they'll look for, right? If they were in the ballpark and somewhat close to this offer of the Atlanta Falcons, it's going to come out. It'll get out there. I think because of what you're saying, like it'll be about saving face a little bit and being a little to the fan base. Like, look, we offered him this. We weren't that far off. He didn't want to be here, right? Now, if it's in a different stratosphere and there was a huge gap and Atlanta was willing to pay a ton more money, then, yeah, I don't think we're going to hear those numbers. But that is kind of what I kind of look for here in the next few days, because if those kind of leak out, the numbers leak out, that's, you know, that to me is like, hey, they put a pretty good offer out there and Kirk Cousins didn't want to be there. So we'll see where this goes, but either way, Sam Darnold's the start, or as of now, will be the starting quarterback when OTAs start, and we'll see if he's the starting quarterback when it becomes week one. Are they going to do it? Are they going to draft a quarterback? I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Vikings do in this process.
It's the Josh McCown, Mike Glennon arrangement.
Yeah.
The, hey, this is our guy, and then 6 weeks from now, we don't know how long this guy's going to be the starter. It's Mitch Trubisky, the year they got Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. We see it all the time. That's what Sam Darnold becomes for the Minnesota Vikings, a placeholder, a bridge, short-term, 1 year. And now the other side of it is, who knows what he's going to do with Kevin O'Connell? We saw Josh Dobbs better than ever with Kevin O'Connell. Nick Mullins threw for 400 yards with Kevin O'Connell. The only guy that we haven't seen much from is Jaren Hall, who against the Falcons last year, led a drive all the way down to the end zone but suffered a concussion trying to score the touchdown that opened the door for Josh Dobbs. So there's a chance Jaren Hall may have something. I don't know how it's going to play out. But, you know, I saw on Super Bowl Sunday, just 2 days after I had that epiphany talking to Julie Cousins while she was talking to my wife about, I think, you know what, this may not work. Somebody on, and it got caught up in all the Super Bowl Sunday splash reports, somebody linked Darnold to the Vikings, and that made that sinking feeling for me even stronger. It's like they're already planning to.
Yeah, I hear you. This was definitely out there. Everybody knew the Sam Darnold was high up on the list of the Vikings, as the contingency plan, as they say, right? You're no doubt about that. That's where, like, I heard all those things and heard it from people that I trust and all that. That's where the Kirk Cousins thing was shocking yesterday, and I should have listened to you more. But I just didn't hear from anybody that I trusted in the league of enough to know it that way. But the Sam Darnold thing seemed very real. And you're right, just off of that alone and how that was going around the circles of the NFL, I should have probably taken the Kirk Cousins thing more serious, because obviously Minnesota had a feel that it could be danger time with Kirk leaving.
Yeah, and Darnold is the guy who now steps in. The grandson of Dick Hammer steps in as the bridge quarterback for Minnesota Vikings on a $10 million deal for 1 year. Look, all due respect to Sam Darnold, Chris, why weren't they in it on Russell Wilson? If they knew this was coming, why aren't you on the phone with Russ saying, hey, Russ, let's ride, let's pillage, let's plunder? Like,
I think
you're our starter here.
Well, yeah, I hear you. I hear you there. You know, I think there's all the baggage that comes with Russell Wilson a little bit, like we talked about. The other thing, too, that and we hit on this yesterday a little bit, and you've hit on this with, you know, the Sean Payton dynamic in Denver. I don't think Russell Wilson's that kind of guy sometimes to these offensive guys that want to attack and checks and do all these things in the line of scrimmage, right? I think that's where Kevin O'Connell's going to look at it and go, man, he didn't like Sean Payton and doing that. Well, I'm kind of along those lines of how I want to attack, so that doesn't fit me. He wants more of the, you know, at the line of scrimmage, right, knows the coverages, gets the offense into the right play, makes the right checks. Hey, those plays he talked about us at the combine where it's the same play, but there's nuance to it, and it changes from week to week with some of the rules, right? He needs a quarterback that can be all over that type of stuff, right? And I think that's where Russell Wilson's questioned a little bit to a degree. And Sam Darnold, you know, has the reputation of being able to handle that, Now let's see, for the first time ever, with a coach, some talent around him and all that, can Sam Darnold show that, you know, he is a starting quarterback? This is going to be the first time he has a chance to be in a situation where we can legitimately look at it and go, well, he should succeed. You know, the Jets we knew was like, oh, I don't know if it's going to work. Number three pick, I don't know, Jets, right? Carolina Panthers were like, oh, man, I mean, damn, he's going to Carolina. Jeez, it's going to be hard to look good there. Here's one where it's like, nah, you shouldn't look bad here. Not with this coach and this offense, right? So we're going to see all about Sam Darnold here and him, you know, being thrusted into the spotlight, at least in the early part of the season, if they don't draft a quarterback.
The most memorable moment from Sam Darnold's career with the Jets was the hot mic NFL Films seeing ghosts moment.
Right.
Monday night against the New England Patriots. So it's going to be Kevin O'Connell's job to make sure that there are no ghosts, that the ghosts aren't real, and that all he's seeing are the openings in the defense based upon the attack plan that O'Connell's come up with, unless and until they get a guy in the draft that ends up being better than Sam Darnold. But you have been a proponent of Darnold since he entered the league as the third overall pick from the Jets. Remember, the Jets traded up with the Colts to get in position to get Darnold. He was the second quarterback taken and went Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold that year. So that's the same year that Cousins started playing for the Vikings, 2018.
Yeah, right.
Cousins signs with the Vikings in March. Darnold gets drafted by the Jets in April. And, you know, there was a point last year where, you know, we thought, it was after that Vikings game.
Yeah.
When Brock Purdy took a couple of hits and he was concussed and somehow got cleared to play just 6 days later. We thought Darnold was getting a start.
Yeah.
The week after they had lost to the Minnesota Vikings, but that wasn't to be. That was when they lost to the Bengals, right? 31-17 after losing to the
That's
Vikings
right.
on Monday night, the same day Cousins tore his Achilles tendon. So we'll see what Darnold can do. And by the way, a couple of final points on Cousins.
Yeah.
I did the research last night, and I've been saying they haven't had a franchise quarterback since Fran Tarkenton. Kirk Cousins is the first quarterback to start eight or more games for six straight seasons for the Vikings since Fran Tarkenton.
That's incredible.
And Tarkenton only did it seven straight years because he was gone with your Giants from 67 to 72.
Right.
So he had 7 years when he came back of eight or more starts, and no one had gotten close to that until Cousins. And we've got the list of all the names. Some will conjure good memories for Vikings fans. Some will cause you to quote Conor McGregor and say, who the fook is that guy? So sorry if that even counts. Feck is okay. If Feck is okay, then fook is okay in my book. But, you know, a long list of guys, revolving door of guys, and they want that guy. Because I understand it. This goes back to what Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said July of 2022.
Yeah, right.
When he said, you know, I'm a little nervous we didn't blow it up at quarterback. He said that.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm nervous about is we're not tearing it down at quarterback.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is good, but basically you need Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady if you want to win a Super Bowl. So this has been brewing for a while in Minnesota. They want to go all in at quarterback and get the guy that's going to be there for seven or more years as their starter, starting half the games or more in every single season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know those were strong words by Kwadefi when he said them. That they really were. But it seemed like the tune had changed. But maybe that's why there was a line of demarcation there as far as how much they were willing to pay. Where, you know, management looked at it and went, wait, we're not willing to go here. We don't think you're that caliber of a player. We think the offense and the people around you and Kevin O'Connell have made you maybe look a little bit better than what you really are, right? And maybe that's the thought there. But, you know, they're in the Sam Darnold business. They gave him $10 million, right? He is going to be the guy that starts there. And then where does it go from there? And do they try to make a move as far as the starting in the draft at quarterback? You know, but I do think Sam Darnold fits this offense in a lot of ways. And, like, I go back to my old phrase, Mike. I mean, it, again, if you're around crap and crap's all around you, you're going to start to smell and look like crap too. And that's what he was with in the Jets and the Carolina Panthers. We've yet to see him in a spot to where I realistically, as a football evaluator, go, well, right, he should have succeeded here and he didn't. The two spots he's been at, I want to go, well, You put most quarterbacks there, other than maybe a handful in the history of the sport, they're going to fail with the Jets and the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, we'll see if he could take advantage of that opportunity. But I do think he's got the skill set to thrive in that offense. His, like, here's some things to give you some love here, right? He's a pretty good athlete. He's definitely a better athlete than Kirk Cousins, popping around the pocket or running. His arm is better than Kirk Cousins. I'll tell you that as well. His release is quicker than Kirk Cousins. Now, he hasn't played as much football and had the success, and I know all of that. But there are some things to be excited about with Sam Darnold. There was a reason he was the number three pick, and a lot of people thought he would be the number one pick. He did have some skills and ability and the size that, you know, I think people looked at and went, hey, he's kind of elite in this area. So, you know, we'll see if he can take advantage of the opportunity. I'm rooting for him.
Quick pop quiz. Give me the month and the year in which Sam Darnold was born.
Oh, gosh. He's young. I remember he's young here. I'm not going to be able to know the month, but I'm going to say he was born in 1998, the year you guys lost to the Falcons in the NFC Championship game.
Close. 97. He's okay. 26 years old. And that's stunning to me, and right. I think it's because, you know, it's kind of like playing for the Jets is like being president. It ages the hell out of you, and paying attention to the Jets ages the hell out of you. Right. But he's only 26 at a time when there's this push for young. Isn't Michael Penix 25?
Yeah.
Isn't like one of the guys coming out
right.
old?
Bo like, Nix and Michael
Sam
Penix
Darnold,
are up
grand
there.
Scheme of things. Yeah. You know, grand scheme of things, Sam Darnold is still largely untapped, unproven, and who knows what his ceiling is. But and this may be how they kind of tried to calm Kevin O'Connell down when he was saying we need to keep Kirk. It's like, but you can get the most out of anyone, and you got the most out of Kirk. It's not him, it's you. So let's find another guy that you can turn into something more than maybe what he's ever been, which is kind of what he did with Kirk Cousins. One last point. The Vikings will see Kirk Cousins this year. Oh, yes, they will, because Cousins and the Falcons go to Minnesota, just like Russell Wilson and the Steelers go to Denver.
Awesome.
We talked about that yesterday. Cousins and the Falcons go to Minnesota. And also, and
ooh,
this didn't hit me right away when ooh, I was looking at the Falcons schedule.
I know where you're going.
There's going to be a little pushy-shovey reunion. There's going to be a little Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. And let me tell you, by the time Zimmer was fired by the Vikings, the relationship with Cousins was strained, to say the least. There was a lot of, and it became public, I wanted to be more aggressive.
Right.
I'm only as aggressive as they want me to be. I wanted to cut it loose. I'm playing it safe. You know, my understanding is there was that Cowboys game in 2021, Sunday night game, when Cooper Rush played instead of Dak Prescott, and the head coach was not thrilled with the idea that the quarterback was playing it safe and being conservative and being careful, because he thought, hey, if I don't make any mistakes, we win this game. And they lost to the Cowboys 20-16 in primetime. So there was a lot. There's a lot of – look at that. There's just a lot in that clip. There's a lot. That says a lot happening out in the open for everyone to see and film. So a couple of Falcons games that otherwise would have been sit forward. Put those in prime time, please. I mean, if you're a Vikings fan, here's what you want. You want two things. You want that game to be in prime time because of Kirk's reputation in prime time. And you want it to be on the Sunday-to-Sunday schedule, because we know when they're on Sunday-to-Sunday, we know what happens on Tuesday. We know what doesn't happen on Tuesday.
Oh, no.
When they're on the Sunday-to-Sunday
schedule.
Here we go.
You're going to be able to pick them apart
again.
Oh,
like, I'm never going to mention that. I mentioned it 100 times.
I know.
Last year. You think I'm not going to mention it going forward? Hey, Falcons, you're paying $100 million guaranteed to a guy who works 6 days a week during football season.
Yep. No,
I still wish the Vikings would have kept him.
I'm sure they're going to hear
it. He still was getting it done.
I think
Mike
Zimmer wants to put his hands on you like he did Kirk Cousins, too. I heard that through the grapevine.
That's okay.
He wants to see you in person.
I'll get Kirk Cousins to back me up. He'll be my lieutenant for that interaction. All right. We could talk the whole 2 hours about what happened yesterday in Minnesota, but we're going to take a break. When we return, the Vikings not the only team losing a face of the franchise type player. On Monday, we'll hit on that next here on this Tuesday edition of PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.